Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 2. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. The book of 1 Thessalonians is written to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul is writing to them concerning their faith. They have faith in God. They have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the church because of that faith. They have heard the gospel of Christ. They have received the gospel of Christ in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. This is the way every person receives the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is preached. The gospel of Christ is heard. And because of belief, one repents of sin, confesses the sonship or the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, and are baptized in water for the remission or forgiveness of their sins. They are saved. The Lord adds them to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. Their faith in the gospel has motivated them to obey God, whereby they become the church. Paul writes a letter to these Thessalonians. He is writing this letter concerning the gospel of Christ. The gospel is the message that God wants proclaimed to those who are lost in sin, to those who are separated or alienated from Him. The gospel is the simple message of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the message which Paul preached in the city of Thessalonica. His preaching the gospel in Thessalonica is recorded in Acts chapter 17. Paul had journeyed into this city. He had proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Some of those Thessalonians which heard that gospel, perhaps not all of them, had obeyed the gospel or received the gospel, hence they had become the church. It is the teaching of Scripture that not all people who hear the gospel will receive the gospel. Many will hear the gospel of Christ, but they will not believe the gospel of Christ, and therefore they will not obey the gospel and will not become the church. But there were those who had received the gospel and had become the church, and so Paul writes to them concerning their faith. He mentions an individual by the name of Timotheus. He identifies Timotheus as a brother, a minister of God, and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. As Paul presents the gospel in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we make mention of the power of the gospel. Paul has written to the Roman church in chapter 1 and verse 16 of the Epistle to the Romans and said that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of the Christian life. Because of the gospel, those who believe and are the church are empowered by the gospel. Paul, in 1 Thessalonians 3, presents the power of the gospel of Christ to the church of the Thessalonians. He says first that this power guards against afflictions. The gospel will guard us in affliction. We noticed in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the gospel brings affliction. Paul, in his preaching in Thessalonica, had suffered affliction. The enemies of God, the enemies of the gospel, bring affliction to those who preach the gospel and to those who live according to the gospel. We are going to suffer because there are those that do not want the gospel preached. They do not want people to live according to the gospel. They despise the Christian way of life, and hence they persecute them. The Apostle Paul, who wrote this epistle, had been a persecutor of Christ, a persecutor of Christians, but he was converted. One who lives in sin and who despises God and rebels against the authority of God can obey the gospel and change his or her life. We can become followers of God, teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and live according to the power of the gospel. Paul says the gospel guards against affliction. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 3 and 4, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We are appointed to affliction. The gospel is going to bring affliction. Evil men are going to persecute those who believe the gospel. And so Paul says, you yourselves know that you are appointed unto these afflictions. These afflictions are going to come. We cannot expect to live the Christian life free of affliction. We cannot expect to live without some suffering in this present world. He continues, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Paul had suffered in Thessalonica. He had suffered in every place where he had preached the gospel. His gospel was rejected by many, and he suffered at the hands of those who despised the gospel. He mentions in verses 3 and 4 of 1 Thessalonians 3, afflictions and tribulation. These are trials. These are difficulties. You and I know that in living this life, there are afflictions, there is trouble, there are trials. There are difficulties through which we must pass, which we must overcome. In 1 Peter 5, verses 9 and 10, whom resist steadfast in the faith? This is the devil. We are to resist the devil. The devil is going to tempt us, try us. The devil is going to seek our overthrow. He must be resisted in the faith. Our faith must lead us to resist the devil. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. When Peter writes this verse of Scripture, he tells his readers that they are to be steadfast in the faith. We are to remain firmly settled in the faith. Nothing is to separate us from our faith. Because we know that the same afflictions that are in the world are present with us, the church is not exempt from affliction. There is no hedge that God has formed around the Christian that prevents that Christian from having trials and difficulties and troubles. The afflictions that are in the world are going to be in the church. The people in the world have loss and suffering, and loss is going to be experienced by those in the church. There are those in the world who have disease and sickness, and there are those in the church who are going to experience disease and sickness. The afflictions that are in the world are going to be in the church. We must know that. But the gospel will guard us, because Paul says that after we have suffered, we can be made perfect, we can be established, we can be strengthened, and we can be settled. The gospel will strengthen us in our affliction. There is a word of comfort contained in the gospel. There is a message of hope contained in the gospel. We know from hearing the gospel and reading the gospel in the pages of the New Testament that we can overcome trial and trouble and difficulty. We can live because of our faith in God. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, the scripture says concerning Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus suffered affliction. Jesus, as he lived in this mortal flesh, in this world, had to suffer, and he overcame. He did not lose faith in God. He continued to serve God and do the will of God, and ultimately died because of his submission to that will and to that authority. So must we. We must learn to live with affliction because we know that we are guarded and strengthened and established by the power of the gospel, by our faith. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of our faith, the testing of our faith, allows us to endure, to overcome, to be strong in faith. Romans 5 and verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Tribulation will make us stronger in the faith, will make us more dependent upon God, more trusting of God. We are willing to continue to serve God because we understand the power of the gospel and the fact that the gospel will guard us against affliction. Paul says also that the gospel guards against the tempter. The gospel guards us against the temptations of the devil. In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Paul had a fear that those to whom he had preached in Thessalonica and who had received that preaching and had become the church in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ would be tempted by the devil so that they would lose faith. The purpose of temptation is to draw one away from God. The devil desires to tempt us so that he might separate us from God. Because when we follow temptation, when we listen to the devil, when we obey the will of the devil, we are separated from God. We are alienated, cut off from God. And Paul had this fear that if the tempter tempted them, then the faith which they had embraced would be in vain, because that faith would be lost due to the temptation that the tempter, the devil, had presented unto them. The devil must be overcome. The temptations of the devil must not be accepted. Our faith in the gospel of Christ must cause us to stand against the temptations of Satan and be strong in the face of this powerful adversary. Satan is a powerful adversary against the will of God and the purpose of God. He must be overcome. We must not allow his temptation to lead us astray from God and to separate us from the faith that we have in God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, Paul has introduced to the church at Ephesus that we are engaged in this great spiritual war against evil, and the devil is a powerful enemy. The devil has many devices, many enticements that he can offer to mankind. The devil seeks to find our weakness, and he attacks that weakness. He does not attack our strength. He attacks our weakness. And we can allow ourselves to be overcome by the devil. And so Paul says we're engaged in this great war against evil, but we must be strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the faith of the gospel. And so he says in verses 14 through 17 of Ephesians 6, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you see in those verses of Scripture the power of the gospel, the presentation of the gospel? Truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, Word of God. That is the gospel. All of those terms used by the apostle in those verses of Scripture are identifiable with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with the power of the gospel. How do we overcome the devil? The gospel of Jesus Christ. We embrace the gospel. We hold fast to the gospel. We continue in the gospel. And we're able to overcome the devil. The works of evil cannot drive a wedge between us and God because we hold to the gospel, to the teachings of the gospel, to the truth of the gospel, to the power of the gospel. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, we have a scene where the Lord Jesus Christ is being tempted by the devil. Jesus lived without sin upon the earth. The devil tempted him, but the devil was never able to bring Christ into the submission of his will because Christ desired to do the will of the Father. He desired to always be pleasing to the Father, to always do that which was pleasing to the Father, as he stated in John chapter 8. And so the devil is tempting him in Matthew chapter 4. Also in Luke chapter 4, these same temptations are presented and recorded in Jesus' confrontation with Satan. We're going to have to confront Satan just as Jesus did. And as Jesus overcame, so we can overcome. How did Jesus overcome the devil when the devil presented those temptations to him? He answered and said, "It is written. It is written. It is written." God has written a word of power for the Christian. And when we read that word and embrace that word and hold to that word, we're able to overcome. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We live by the word of the mouth of God. We listen to the word of God. We seek to follow the word of God. The word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the love of our life and the source of strength that enables us to be guarded against the tempter. The gospel guards against failing. We can fail. We can fail because we become discouraged. We become depressed. We become overcome. The world is filled with a great deal of trouble. All people in all parts of the world suffer trouble. No doubt some apparently suffer more trouble than other people. But there is trouble in every life. And because of that trouble, we can become despondent, we can become overcome, discouraged, and we can fail. We can fall short of the goal that God has in mind. There are people in life who have failed. Sometimes we fail physically because of a lack of strength. Our strength is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in that gospel we must trust, and in that gospel we must hold fast. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, verse 8, "Sent Timotheus, our brother, minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord." How are we going to live? We must stand fast in the Lord. We must continue in our faith to the Lord. We must not forget our faith. We must not forget our commitment. When we obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we repented of our sins, confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, and were baptized into Christ, we made a vow to God that we were going to live for Him, that we were going to serve Him, that we were going to be His disciple, that we were going to labor in His kingdom, that we were going to serve Him and glorify Him and honor Him, and we must hold fast to that. How do we prevent falling short of that and failing in that endeavor? The gospel. The gospel is a source of power. Paul said, "The gospel of Christ establishes you, comforts you concerning your faith." In the gospel, we find strength so that we can be established, not moved away, not thrown aside, but established, settled, and comfort. The Bible is a word of comfort. We read the scripture to find comfort in the times of discouragement and in the times of loss, in the time of trouble, we must be comforted. In Acts 14 and verse 22, the scripture says that those who had preached the gospel to these cities had gone back, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we through much tribulation must enter into the kingdom of God. In the face of tribulation, we must not fail. The road to the kingdom of God is paved with tribulation, because tribulation makes us better. Tribulation makes us stronger. We overcome today, it's easier to overcome tomorrow because we have gained strength. We have found power. And so Paul and his workers were seeking to confirm the souls of the disciples, and they exhorted them to continue in the faith. We must continue in the faith. We must not fail. We can fail in the desire for a heavenly home. We can fail in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can forget who we are and what we are and who God is and what God is and what our purpose in life is. We can fail in doing that, and we can fall short of the kingdom. We must continue. We must not fail. The gospel empowers us. In Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, that's the gospel of Christ. That's the power of God unto our salvation now and our eternal salvation to come. Continue in the faith, grounded, settled. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, also am made a minister. Continue in the faith. Be grounded and settled. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. That passage suggests that we are so rooted, we are so settled, we are so established that nothing, absolutely nothing, can move us away from the hope of eternal life and a home in heaven that we have with God, that has been secured by the Lord Jesus Christ in his death upon the cross, in the shed blood, and in his resurrection from the tomb. Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We live by faith. We live by a confirmation in our heart that the gospel is the word of God, that God is true, that his promises are sure, and we live by that conviction and by that commitment, and we do not fail. We do not come up short in our search for life. The gospel inspires love for others. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you. You remember Jesus in John 13, 34, 35 said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Paul said we need to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. This is the commandment of Christ. Love is the badge of discipleship that the church wears, so that the world might know that we are truly the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, we have embraced the gospel through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Because our souls have been purified in receiving the truth of God, we have a fervent love for one another. We care about one another in the church. We're concerned about each other. We seek to help and encourage and strengthen one another in the church. We care about how people feel, what people are going through, what trials our brethren are experiencing. We have a concern for them as well as a concern for ourselves. The gospel of Jesus teaches us that we are not to be selfish, but rather we are to embrace not only our brethren, but also those in the world, so that we are a help and a strength to all of humanity and all of society. The gospel inspires us to love. We have been able to embrace the gospel because God loved and Jesus loved. And the test of love is sacrifice and giving. And the gospel inspires us to do that. In Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Christ is our example of love. We walk in love because Christ has loved us, and he has given himself as a sacrifice unto God so that we might be able, capable of not only loving God, but of loving others. The gospel teaches us to love. The gospel motivates and inspires us to love. The gospel establishes us in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The gospel teaches us that we are to be unblameable in holiness before God. The world is full of sin. The world is full of impurity. The world is unholy. But we are to be holy because the gospel teaches us that we are to be holy and we are to be without blame before the Lord God. In 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, God has called us and God is holy. God is pure. There is no stain. There is no flaw. There is no sin in the character of God. Jesus lived upon the earth without sin. And since God, who has called us, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God wants us to be holy as he is holy in all manner of life. When we go to the services of the church, we're to be holy. When we worship God, we're to be holy. But when we are at home and at our jobs and in the world, we are to be holy. We are to avoid anything and everything that would cause us to be unholy. We are to abstain from anything that would make a flaw or a stain or a scar upon our character. We are to seek the holiness of God in our life. We are to desire to live in this world of iniquity, in this environment of transgression and unholiness, to be holy people. We are to be an example and a light to the darkness of the world. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, they had been baptized into Christ and thus had been made free from sin, and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. We were baptized to remove the stains and the sins of our life. In that baptism, we have been made holy, and we are to have our fruit unto holiness. We are to continue to be holy. We're never to stain our character with sin. And the end will be everlasting life. Ephesians 4:22, he's speaking of conversion. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is a sinful man, but the new man is a holy man. He's a righteous man. He has been created in holiness. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is the power of the gospel. Believe the gospel, obey the gospel, submit yourselves to the gospel, and live by the direction and the commandments of the gospel, because the coming of Christ will examine our lives by the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Jesus is going to come all of humanity is going to be judged, and the standard of that judgment is the gospel, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.